This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so I want to, without any further ado, welcome Pastor Sandra Ward to the stage. Hey, man, so good to have you. And, Pastor Sandra, for those that don't know, just let us know. Let everybody on the stream and in the building know how long you've been coming to Hope.
Wow. This year is going to make my 25th year.
25 years. Awesome. Amen. Awesome. Well, you know, rain, snow, sleet, those things probably don't really happen that much in Miami. Hurricanes. We know that you have been a rock, you've been a pillar in the house, and a blessing and a ministry Amen. To so Amen. Many. So we thank you for that.
Thank you.
And how did you get involved in the prayer ministry? Because I know, like, when we think of Pastor Sandra, we think of prayer, powerful prayer and intercession.
Amen.
So how did you come at that? How did you arrive in
wow.
the prayer ministry?
I'm going to say it's a setup that God did. When I was a little girl, I remember my mom used to get us in the morning before school and have us pray. And I thought that I was the smart one. I'd get Psalms 100. And she said, and I will say it as if it's my prayer.
Yeah.
And she said, every morning I'd say the same thing over and over and over. I said, no wonder I know the scripture so well now. But I knew that God had called me to pray. I just didn't know that he called me to intercede, because it's a difference. I would pray over myself. I'd pray my way through life. Whenever I ran into situations, circumstances, I'd still pray. And as I grew and got closer to the Lord, I realized that that's a gift that I wanted to exercise, of course. Mm-hmm. And I came to Hope, and there was Prophet Deborah. At the time, she spoke a word into my life. She said, God has called you to intercede. Well, to be honest with you, when I heard the word intercede, I had to go and look it up in the dictionary because I did not realize what it meant.
Isn't that funny, though? That's how oftentimes our calling happens.
Yeah.
We don't really know that much about yes. what God is calling us to do, but yet God throws this calling
yes.
on us and
yes.
throws
Amen.
Some concept on us that we don't really fully comprehend.
Yes.
We have to go back and figure out what exactly
yes.
that means. Got to research yes. what exactly that means. And so God kind of really did that
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely, because as a matter of fact, when I heard when she said intercessor, I thought, okay, now I have to go to school. I have to go to.
And you did. You did go to school.
Yeah. Yes, I did. But it became natural after. It became yeah. something that I enjoyed doing.
Yeah. It became part of you.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, how long have you been involved in the prayer ministry?
Okay, so I started. The word was given to me in 2009, and.
So that's 10, 11 years?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about a prayer, but first we want to pray and just pray that God just illuminates all the right areas for us tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're showing us new things about your word. You're showing us new things about our faith. God, we just open up our hearts to be able to hear and receive from you, God, and speak to all the different places and areas of our life that we need to hear from you in. God, we know you know exactly what we need to hear tonight, so speak to us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is a great topic, really. What are some of the, we're going to talk about prayer, but specifically, what are some of the common strongholds or idols that can stand in the way of us having a stronger prayer life? Because
wow.
we all want to have a stronger
yes.
prayer life, right?
Yes.
If that's
yes.
you, say amen, type amen, amen in there.
Amen.
But we all want to have a stronger prayer life. I mean, there's nobody that says, oh, I've arrived. I don't need to
yes.
get my prayer life any stronger.
Yes. Yes.
So what are some of the common strongholds? We'll kind of take them one by one. Strongholds or idols that could stand in the way of us really being strong in our prayer life.
Amen. Well, Here's the funny thing about it. These strongholds are very subtle. You don't recognize them. You know, they just come. They take a root into your heart.
Yeah, just creep into
your
life.
They just creep into your life, and you're not aware of it.
One day you just turn around, and you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
What happened to my prayer life?
Yes, I was
on a good roll. I was on a good rhythm. You're not alone out there if that's happened to you.
Yes.
You know, it's happened to many of us that it's just like, Life happens,
absolutely.
And then we take a pause and say, "Whoa, what's going on with my prayer life?"
Yes. The thing about these strongholds, they seep into your life covertly. You know, they have no mercy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because after them taking root into your life, and after you not even realizing or knowing that they're there, it starts interfering with your prayer life. It starts putting things in place where you thought, okay, I thought I was good at this, or I thought I could pray, or why isn't this happening to me? Why isn't that happening to me? You know?
Maybe that's something that we can all say has happened. It's like, I feel like my prayers used to be stronger, or I was stronger with my prayer life in another season. You know, that's something that I think many of us have actually asked ourselves is like, what's going on in this season? It seemed like previous seasons, I was stronger.
Yeah. Amen.
So what is the first stronghold? What would you say?
Well, the first stronghold I'm going to introduce everyone is our own understanding. Things that we do, the things that we know. We're comfortable when things fall in place. We're comfortable when we have things lined up. We get very, very comfortable when we have an extra room to do things, you know? But here's where the stronghold comes in. It takes place of what God wants to do in your life. It covers everything that you can conceive, everything that you think about. These strongholds, they come in a way in which you least expect them to be there. They come to you in a situation where it's repeated, the same thing over and over and over again, and you sit and you try to analyze, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? And when situation does not turn out the way you want it to turn out or you expect it to turn out, then that's where disappointment and disillusion comes in.
You know, one of the things I think a great, amazing tool that the Holy Spirit has given us, one of the gifts actually of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we're in moments that we don't know what to pray and we're beyond our understanding, we can actually begin to speak in tongues. We can begin to use and exercise that particular gift of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit is now working with us to pray the things that we don't even know that we're supposed to be praying in that moment.
Amen.
A lot of times people that are new to the faith don't know, well, why are people praying in tongues? Well, because sometimes we just get beyond a place that we understand.
Yeah.
It's really simple, you know, that we can get to places, we can get to moments in life that we're like, I don't know what to say. I don't even know.
Yes.
And maybe you've been there in 2020. You're like, I just don't even know what to say about this right now.
Amen.
That is a moment that we can pray in our heavenly language. We can pray in one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, praying in tongues.
Yes.
And it helps us get beyond this stronghold of our own understanding.
Right, exactly.
You know, because we're supposed to pray at all times.
Yes.
When we understand, when we don't understand.
Yes.
So, wow.
Here's another amazing thing. And if we're in the area where we don't speak in tongues, we don't understand, the Word of God says once you develop a relationship with Him, the angels makes intercessions for you. So all you have to do is just call out His name. Call on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the angels start covering and comforting you in that area.
Amen. Start with what you do know. Start with, you know, pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be. There's so many great psalms that we can pray. And just begin to start where we do understand, and actually God meets us halfway.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
God
yes,
meets
yes,
us halfway.
Yes,
isn't that one of the scriptures that we were
talking about earlier,
right?
Absolutely.
Draw
absolutely.
Near to me and I will draw
near
to you.
Amen.
And so God
Amen.
Meets us halfway when he sees that we're trying to make an attempt. We're yeah. trying to pray.
Yes.
God meets us halfway.
Yes. Amen. And here's an amazing thing. These strongholds can only be detected by God. There's no way out of it. These aren't, or idols, I should say. These are not materialistic idols. These are emotional idols. And only God can detect it. And when you pray to him, when you develop that relationship with him, and when you pray to him, he'll immediately point it out into your life. But the important area is we should grab a hold of it. We should start working on it, doing something where we can get a better prayer life or even get to know him and get to know him more intimate.
Yeah. I think this is why it's so good. You know, being a part of the body of Christ, being a part of a local church helps so much with this mm-hmm. because when you're beyond your understanding, you can join forces with somebody that does have some understanding in that particular area and can join and agree with you in prayer.
Amen.
And we all need agreement sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight,
two
but two can put 10,000.
10,
there is
Amen.
Exponential
Amen.
Power when we pray together.
Yeah.
So even though I may not understand it, maybe it's something that Pastor Sandra understands.
Yes.
Maybe there's somebody sitting on the row with me that knows something that's a key to my destiny, that
yes.
they can
yeah.
say a prayer, that can agree with me and see doors open in my
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Amen.
I love that. Now let's take it to number two. What is the second stronghold that we want to talk about tonight?
Our sense of security.
Oh.
Man, let me tell you, that's what they call that one. That's a clincher.
Yeah.
Our
yeah.
sense of security.
I think that's just a misnomer because a lot of times we think we're in control.
Yes.
We
yeah,
think
absolutely.
That things
absolutely.
Are under control.
Absolutely.
But the truth of the matter is everything is changing. The only
we
thing
don't.
That does not change is God.
Yes.
And
yes,
so
yes, yes.
it's this illusion that we have of security
yeah.
that really becomes a stronghold.
Yes, yes, yes. And these, the amazing part about it is we sometimes come reliable on things. But when we trust in God, our reliability now turns to him.
Yeah.
You know, he sees, he knows. So when things get out of whack, when we are forced to wait on the bills that's piling up and we know that, you know what, God gave me a word, but okay, God, what's going on? And even in our present circumstances now, for those who are going through something, just trusting in God and depending on him, sometimes that becomes a snare in your prayer life. You know, you focus more on what you cannot control as opposed to what God can control for you.
Wow, that's Amen. So good. That's so good. I just think, you know, if we really, the more we spend in God's presence, having conversations, can also be called prayer, what happens is our security becomes a true sense of security, which is in him. Because he holds the stars in place.
Yes.
He
oh
causes
God.
The earth to rotate, and he will make sure that you're taken care of. He'll make sure that I'm taken care of. He's going to make sure that we're all taken care of. And so that is where our true sense of security comes
Absolutely.
From. Every other Absolutely. Sense of security is actually just an illusion.
Yes.
Number three. What is number three? Third common stronghold that we see with prayer life.
Our goals and our dreams.
Mm.
My goodness.
So
you got to
explain that
we
a little
We love
bit.
To hold on to that. I had to write this out to make sure I get it across even to myself. We become preoccupied in our goals and our dreams. We focus more on our goals. Okay, God, I need you to open this door for me. God, I need you to open that area for me. But we have not let it loose to God. We're still holding on to our dreams. We're still holding on to our perception of what we want as opposed to what God wants for our lives.
You know, Scripture says, you know, what good is it to gain the world
and lose your soul?
And lose your own soul.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we get confused between the things that God has placed in our life. And sometimes having to draw a line between what God is saying and selfish ambition.
Yes.
But there's
there's
such a thing as selfish ambition. Yeah. And sometimes we're even telling ourselves, oh, this is for God. But it's actually really just our own ambitions. And, you know, we have to be able to lay those ambitions, those goals, those dreams down on the altar. And some of those things he'll say, pick that up. That's something that I gave you. And other times he'll say, let that just be right there. Don't pick it back up.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes that's really what it is. It's selfish ambitions.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's our own fleshly ambition. It's not really an ambition that God gave us.
Yes.
It's not really a vision,
a
goal, a dream that God gave us. It's something we saw in a movie.
Yeah.
Or we saw somebody do it in a TV show. And we said, oh, I want that.
Yeah.
We saw something in a seminar. Said, I want to make money like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? God has a plan to bless us.
Yes. Yeah.
But we have to follow his plan. And we have to have an ambition for the things that he's laid out for us.
Yes,
not ambitions that we've put together in our own ideas in mind.
Absolutely. You know, there's a scripture that covers that area. It's coming from James 17 and 3. It says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, whom you have sent. So this is the area that we put our dreams and goals as idols, because we are not understanding that God is the one that created us. He created us for a purpose. He created us to do his will and his way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
because we are so, I'm going to say, caught up on achieving our own goals or having our dreams, we forget that everything starts with Christ Jesus.
Yeah. There is nothing, there is nothing that will fulfill you like the purposes of God.
Yes.
Like
Amen.
The blessing of God. When you go after that as your ambition, my sole ambition is to do the will of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And to fulfill his purposes in my life. And part of that is being a good dad.
Yes. Yeah.
Part of that is being a good husband. Part of that is providing for my family.
Yeah.
And that is a complete ambition that comes from God.
Yes.
But there are things that we tack on sometimes. We've got to be honest with ourselves. Some of that stuff God didn't give us, and we have to lay it back down, or it becomes a stronghold in our prayer life.
And interfere with our prayer, yes.
So
yes,
what is number four? Number one, we know our own understanding. Number two, a sense of security. Number three, goals and dreams. What's number four? The fourth common stronghold or idol.
Relationships.
Oh, man.
There are a lot of things in our lives that we hold on to, but relationship seems to be a top notch in a not let go. God is putting us into a place to do his will.
Yeah.
We sometimes want to hold on to that relationship that God is saying, you know, let's put that relationship on the side.
Yeah.
Or let's do certain things with that relationship. Some of the times the relationship can come from areas of hurting you, you know, and God sees it ahead of time. Sometimes these relationships can be formed by just wanting to have you with them or around them, not for a godly purpose, but to accomplish what it is that they want to do. And because we're rooted and grounded in Christ, and because we have his presence in us, he will tell us, okay, you know, let's rest with that relationship, you know?
I think there's one James Taylor song that really, it really says what happens from a perspective of human nature in relationships.
Yes.
And the lyric says, it ain't too bad the way you're using me, because I sure am using you to do the things you do. It in the natural, in the carnal existence, we end up using each other for our own agendas. And it's sad, you know, the more we are developing our relationship with God and our prayer life with God, we begin to take on a new focus to relationships. So now we're serving each other. We're not using each other. We're not saying, what can I get out of this relationship?
Absolutely.
Asking, what can I give? What can I pour out into a relationship? And so I think because we're emotional beings, sometimes it's difficult to let go of certain relationships that have been in our life for so long. But sometimes we have to realize, and what I was talking about a little bit earlier this morning in a Bible study that I was doing with the men, plug for the men, is Acts 10. And sometimes we have to realize that God is calling something, a particular thing. And we can't call what God has called something. We can't change the name. We can't change the name. And that was basically from the story of Peter and Cornelius. God was saying, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And so we need to come into agreement with what God is calling relationships in our life. God was preparing Peter to say, don't call Cornelius unclean. When you walk in his house, don't call him and his family unclean. Don't call them outsiders, because I've called them insiders. And so we have to judge relationships by the Spirit. Amen. God has great relationships that will enrich our lives. But the enemy oftentimes will send people in our life that have no business. It's not that sometimes they're all bad people, but it's just somebody, they have a weakness, and you got a weakness in the same area, and it's not going to turn out good. God knows. And so... And so being able to pray and step up to that spiritual level helps us to view relationships in the right light. The more we pray, the more we see our brothers and sisters, and we see all the ways that we can fit together. We see people that belong in our life. We see people that don't belong in our life. And sometimes it's not bad if somebody doesn't belong in your life. It's just... they don't belong in your life. And so relationships, when we make these decisions outside of letting God guide us, these relationships can become strongholds, obstacles in our relationship with God and our prayer life as well.
You know, many years ago, Bishop says, everybody has an agenda. Everyone has an agenda. Our agenda is we are thinking about good, with good intentions.
Or thinking about bad.
Or thinking about
But everybody
bad.
Has an agenda.
But everyone
Jesus
has
had
an
agenda.
Exactly.
The redemption of mankind.
Exactly.
We all have agendas.
Exactly.
So, that's why I feel so much more comfortable when I know what somebody's agenda is.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if we know what motivates each other, now we can, the Bible says, know those that you labor among. I want to know what motivates you. I want to know what your dreams are. I want to know what God has put in your heart. I want to know what's important to you. What wakes you up in the morning? Because when we understand each other, we can labor better together. Or we can know, hey, we're not supposed to, you need to go labor over there, and I'm going to labor over here. So, all right, so we got number four. A common stronghold can be relationships. What is number five, a common stronghold or idol?
Things that happened in your past,
your
past life, your past relationship. A lot of what I hear more common now is, you know, I love the Lord, but this is how I am. Or
I've just seen too much.
I've just seen too much. I've experienced too much.
I've heard that so many times. I've just seen too much. So you're talking about the Jesus that died on the cross that redeemed mankind cannot redeem your mindset and your heart. He's incapable of fixing what's been broken.
Amen.
I say, you have put Jesus in such a small box in your life.
Your mind.
That's sad, because I have to approach life that God can do anything.
Yes.
God can redeem any relationship.
Amen.
He can fix anything that's been broken. Anybody that's hurt me in my past.
Yes.
God could bring that person full circle and then be a blessing in another season of my life. Because my God is just that good.
So,
we cannot let our past dictate our future.
Exactly.
We serve a God that is limitless. He can take what was your past hurt and cause it to be your future platform.
Yes,
he can cause your past hang up to be your next sermon series.
Yes,
when you're in the workplace, now what used to hold you back is sending you rocketing forward. Why? Because God can take your past, what the enemy intended for evil, God is going to turn it for good, because a righteous person's steps
are ordered.
Are ordered.
Yes. Amen.
My gosh,
amen.
There's one of the guys on the prayer line, one of the men, and he just talks about how God used his past.
Yeah.
And he's got a colorful past. How God used his past to make him the man that he is today. And I want to tell you, if you're out there listening, if you're in here in the building, whatever your past is, don't let it be a stronghold. Let it be a platform.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I've learned over the years that if your past is, say, speaking or conversating with others or like to help, that's a ministry.
Yeah.
It just has to be directed in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, so your past does not necessarily have to be bad, but whatever it is that you have a passion for, that helps to propel you to do what God has called
sure.
you to do.
A lot of times our passions, we realize once we come into the kingdom, some of those passions are actually put there by God.
Yeah,
we were
absolutely.
Just using it the wrong
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
We found ourselves in the world and people flocked to us and we had this magnetic personality. Maybe you were meant to be an evangelist.
Yeah.
People coming to you, maybe it was a gift that God gave you and you're just using it the wrong way. So I love that and I hear that.
Amen.
But man, we can't let past hang-ups, past experiences, past hurts become a stronghold in our life. We have to continue whatever it is. God, heal me past this.
Yes,
God, take
this
and transform it in my life.
Amen.
God, transform me, transform my experiences. God, I want to be who you want me to be. Take everything that the enemy has ever done to inflict harm on me and my destiny and my family and turn it into a testimony.
Amen.
God can
amen.
Turn your
past
test into a testimony.
Yeah, amen.
So
amen.
Number five is the past. What is number six? Common stronghold idol that gets in the way of us having a strong prayer life.
Our hobbies. Our hobbies. Oh, my goodness. A lot of times we're blessed, and there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with living a good life. But when it interferes with seeking God or going into God's house or even praying for the matter, that becomes an idol.
Yeah.
Because now your hobbies oversee what God is doing in your life, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's a great quote, great old quote. I can't remember right now the person that gave it, but he said, in essence, I'm going to paraphrase it, God, don't let me be too poor or I might hate and resent you. Don't let me get too rich or I might forget you.
Wow.
And yes, it is a scripture too. I was thinking about the quote, but yes. I think, you know, hobbies are great. They can be very diverting. They can be, you know, part of your Sabbath, part of your rest. But I think we have to make sure, just like anything, we have to do things in moderation.
Yeah.
Because if that hobby begins to come into the God space of our life and begin to take over too much time, then we're not being productive. We're not being strong in our prayer life. We're not spending time with certain relationships that we should be. Why? Because a priority got out of, a hobby got out of perspective in our life. And so I think that I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad that you added that because sometimes something that is not necessarily bad, we just don't moderate it. We just don't put parameters on it. And all of a sudden now, we're not having, somebody said Instagram. I love it. It could be anything. Yeah. Something that's not necessarily evil.
Yes.
But the way we're using it or what we've allowed it to become in our life, it becomes an idol. Or it becomes a stronghold. It becomes something that is in the God space.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't belong.
Amen. And, you know, here's another great important thing. We don't have, but we pray and we intercede and we fast. And God blesses us with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now what blessed me really, the scripture, Luke 14:16, when has to do with the parable of the great banquet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too busy. I can't make it. You know, I can't pray. I can't Lord, I can't pray right now. I'll pray because I have to go to this function or do that function. You know, the parable says, one says, I just had a wife.
Yeah.
I just married someone, and I don't have the time. These are things that are real, real serious idols or strongholds in our lives, because God wants our full attention. The scripture, Matthew 6:33, says, seek ye first his kingdom. In order for us to seek his kingdom, we have to spend time with him. And we have to know without a shadow of a doubt who he is in us and who we are in him.
Yeah. I think one of the incredible things about prayer is, at the root, it's a conversation that we're having with God. Yeah. One of the main things that it is. And so, if you're not having conversation, how can you have relationship?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody that I have relationship with, I have regular conversations with. My wife, we talk every single day. We talk a lot. Sometimes I want to go to bed. We're still talking. I'm just kidding. But we talk a lot. I have a relationship with my kids. We talk a lot. Sometimes we have to have a time out from talking. There's so much talking in the car. We're going to have quiet time now. But every relationship, you have to have a relationship. You have to have conversation. So prayer, one of the main things that it is us having a conversation with God. How is God going to get regular messages and directions? How is God going to refresh our sense of identity if we're not having regular conversations with him? How is he going to warn us about a bad relationship, about a bad circumstance, about a pothole in our life in this season if we're not having regular conversations? Yeah. God desires us to have strong prayer life because that's our conversation with him. I added a seventh thing on. When we talked earlier, we talked about six things. I added a seventh thing. A seventh stronghold, I think, that comes up is transitional moments.
Yes.
I think that transitional moments can become a stronghold in our prayer life because what happens is we get on a good rhythm in life and then we move. We in this house and then we move to this house. Or we're in a good rhythm and then we start school. Or we're in a good rhythm and we start a new job. Transitional moments. We're in a good rhythm and we have a kid. And it's not necessarily that the thing, the transition in itself was bad. The transition a lot of times can be a blessing. But then the enemy uses, in the middle of the shuffle of everything, now all of a sudden we're praying less. We're having less conversations with God. So what is a common stronghold the enemy uses? Transitional moments. You know, wow, we have some milestone in our life that's a great victory. And this is the subtlety that you were talking about at the beginning. Some great victory that we're celebrating, we're thanking God for. And then the enemy slips in, and if he can't get you to stop doing something, he'll push you in this direction. He'll push you in that direction. Now you're doing a bunch of projects at your house, or you're doing a bunch of new projects over here at your new job. And it just happens. It just happens. The enemy works in subtleties. So for me, one big thing is transitional moments can be a common misstep, a common stronghold, and a strong prayer life.
And, you know, even in this season, you have individuals working. And, of course, things got a little slow because of whatever it is, so your hours are cut. So now you have an opportunity to get more hours. That's part of your transition, because now, okay, I normally pray around this time, but if I can just make ends meet by putting that in the midst of it, you're taking away time from God. Now, those are important things to do, because financially we do need to make ends meet. But I feel in my spirit that when we go before God, because the word says he'll supply all our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So when we go before him, he'll put those things in perspective.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Absolutely. You know, I was reading something about time management this week. And the Bible even tells us that, you know, many times the children of this world are wiser, are more shrewd than the children of light. And this time management rule was basically, there's always going to be more things to do.
Yeah.
there's going to be more things to do at your house. There's going to be more things to do at your job. So take whatever is your priority and put it on the top. Put it on the top. You're going to do that first thing. Or you're going to say, you know what? Come whatever at 5 o'clock. I'm shutting it down. I'm leaving work. And I'm going to do what is the priority. Yes. God, family, whatever your priority list is, do that. Because the truth of the matter is, whether you got the greatest job in the world or you got a more simple job, chances are there's always something else. There's always 10, 12, 15 more things to do on your to-do list. Learn how to say, I'm going to compartmentalize this. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to put the priority on the top. Or whatever happens by this time, I'm going to go home. I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to make sure that I have that relationship with God. I have that prayer time. So I love that thing. And of course, I applied that principle to my life in a spiritual way to say, I want to make sure that my priorities that I'm making time for is my prayer life. In my family, that no matter what's on my to-do list, that I say, you know what, by this time, I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to go. I'm going to pray. Or I'm going to spend time with my family first thing in the morning.
Yes.
Before everything gets kicking and going. We got a family of three now. So praying at the top. Find your prayer zone. Find your God space. And make an appointment with God.
Amen.
Make an appointment with God and don't show up late.
Yeah. Amen. You know? you know, one thought that I have, and I've heard that mentioned at a conference, prayer changes your character. Prayer changes your purpose.
Yeah.
You understand? If you are the same way going before God and you come out the same way again, then you need to spend a little bit more time with God. Because his prayer or prayers to him makes a big difference in our lives.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I want to close this out with a word of prayer. And so this is what I want to do. If you're there with us on the broadcast or you're here in the room, I just want to pray because sometimes we realize God wants to push us further. God is desiring. There was a moment in my life when I realized that God really wanted me to go a little bit deeper in prayer and spend a little bit more time, and he wanted to enrich my prayer life. And I kind of had felt that in the previous season, but I wasn't really responsive like I think I could have. But then when it came time to step up to another level of ministry, I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to do it without more prayer. Maybe that's where you are today and you're saying, the place that God is trying to take me in this next season, there's no way to do it without a more robust prayer life. So I'm talking to you, no matter where you are, you say, I just need to up it a little bit, or you say, hey, I've fallen off the wagon, I need to get back on. I lost my rhythm somewhere, but I need to find it again because that's important. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here. God, whether they have a growing prayer life, whether they have no prayer life, whether they have a little prayer life, whether they have a great prayer life, God, I pray that you would help them grow. I pray that you would help them have a deeper and growing relationship with you. That's what it's all about. That's what's eternal. Our relationship, our communion with you, our communication with you. God, that's what we want. Give us a stronger prayer life. We thank you, God, that the things that were discussed tonight, God, that we'll write that on our heart, that we'll watch out for those strongholds. We'll watch out for those idols. We'll watch out for those priorities, that they don't get higher than our prayer life and our relationship with you. We thank you for that, God. Let this word challenge us. And I just speak faith to each and every person. Maybe you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know how I'm going to make time to pray. God, I pray that you give them the strength. I pray that you give them the strategy and give them the resolve to see it all the way through, because you want to communicate with us all the time. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.